The question was asked, being that we learned in Avot Avinatan that whenever we come to do mitzvot, it's natural that our body suddenly feels tired and everything, all our limbs get in our way, so to speak. They're not so excited to perform. When we come to do an Aveira, so then suddenly everyone's excited and all the limbs are ready to perform at their peak performance. So how does one change that? So we'll begin with the Sur Mira, and then we'll go on to the Asei Tov. You know, we know that in Torah, the Pasuk says, Sur Mira, turn away from doing that which is wrong, Vasei Tov, and do that which is positive. So although our limbs are ready to roll when it comes to doing Avirot, it says in Pirkei Reb Eliezer that when a person is coming to sin, there are angels that stand in his way. There are doors that he has to pass. And every time he comes to pass a door, there are angels that stand and tell him, don't do it, don't do it, you don't want to go down that route. And when we learned that, that's one of the earlier chapters of Pirkei Reb Eliezer, so we suggested that perhaps the Medrash was telling us that whenever we're going to do something wrong, there are certain things that stand in our way. You go out and suddenly you forgot the keys at home, you go out and you forgot to lock the door, you go out and the battery of the car is dead, you go out and the phone suddenly rings. There are always things which give us room to pause and recalculate. And very often we like to push them off. But really they're a gift. They're a godsend. Stop. Force yourself to think, is this really where you want your life to go? Is this really the type of person you want to be? And that's a habit that a person should get into. Meaning, very often, when a person does something he shouldn't do, so he's had opportunities to stop and contemplate whether he should do it, but he's chosen not to. In most instances, we do have those opportunities. And it's up to us to learn to take advantage of those opportunities. I'll give you small examples. When I have couples that tell, one of them tells me that when they get into a fight, they go off the handle. They speak improperly and they do things they later regret. So I often suggest to them that whenever a fight starts, they go to the bathroom. If they walk out of the house, so sometimes that just, you know, rubs salt into the wound. So not enough, you're fighting with me, you're walking out on me. But if you go into the bathroom, that's legitimate. We'll talk when I come out. And that's like a way of cooling off. You have time to think. The other party has time to think. I'm not promising that when you come out, it won't start up all over again, but you'll have time to think and rearrange your thoughts. And that's a way of forcing a break. But the truth is that in the Sur Mira, very often a person has opportunities to pause and reflect. And very often it's also advisable to ask someone else. And a person can grow that way. So that's on the Sur Mira level. On the Aseh Tov, on the being positive and doing good, so a lot of it is in our attitude. Meaning a person can get up in the morning and say, oh, I'm so tired, and half open one eye and lethargically get out of bed and go to Minyan with that continuous thought, I really don't feel like doing this. I really could have used another half hour of sleep. I'll tell you two interesting stories. A person gets out of bed and he looks at the clock and the clock says 10:30 in the morning. And he looks at the clock and he says, I can't believe it. I just slept 11 hours. 10:30. Boy, jumps out of bed, throws on his clothing, runs out to find whatever minyan he could find, runs into shul and davens, runs back home, grabs his stuff to go out, looks at his watch and sees it's 6:30. Looks at the clock, his alarm clock. His alarm clock says 12 already. Looks at his watch, looks at the alarm clock. Something's wrong with his alarm clock. But when he got up, he was convinced he slept 11 hours. He leaped out of bed. He ran around. He did everything. When he suddenly looks at his watch, he sees it's 6:30. So he stops. And he says, wait a second. Which one is it? Which minyan? Oh, maybe that's why the minyan was so empty. That's why the streets were so empty. That's why the sun wasn't up so high. Wait a second. Turns on the radio. Hears it 6:30. Sits down for a cup of coffee and says, boy, I'm so tired. Any one of us could have been that person. Very often it's a question of our mind. Then you have someone else who sleeps till 10:30, but his alarm clock says 6:30, and that's why he slept till 10:30. So he looks at the alarm clock and it says 6:30, and he gets out of bed and he says, I can't believe I'm getting up so early today. And he crefts around the apartment and he gets dressed slowly and lethargically, and all the time he's thinking, oh, I'm so tired. Which one's really tired? The truth is that that could be neither's really tired. Our actions in the morning are very much a factor of what we think we are. Very often when you look at the clock, there's a joke that says, how does a Yekke, a German, decide if he's tired when he gets up in the morning? He looks at the clock. So I don't think it's only us Germanic Jews. I'm a Germanic Jew. I come from Germanic descent. I think most people look at the clock, and that affects their psyche in the morning. So then it's a question of mind over matter. Meaning, if a person decides, I'm waking up and I'm going to do what I have to do, and I'm going to do it with excitement, so that can be a habit a person gets into. You'll see there are people who get up with a lot of zest in the morning. And it's true that sometimes there are external factors that affect it. People who eat sweet things in the morning, coffee with sugar, that slows them down. People that eat salty things in the morning, that speeds them up.
Good.
Yeah. People, yeah. I'm not saying it's good for your blood pressure. It depends on what you do. But I'm saying there are external factors that will affect the person. Different people have different metabolisms. There are people who are quicker and people who are slower. But a lot of it is also attitude. And the proof of the pudding is that when you get up to go hiking, or when you get up to do something you're excited about, so then you have the strength to do it. And if you can't be excited about the mitzvahs you're going to do in the morning, you should at least be excited over life. Be excited. You have another day. You could go out there and live. You could go out there and breathe. And do something that'll excite you. Meaning, jog to shul. So give yourself an extra prize in the morning. So make yourself coffee with an extra half a spoon of sugar or whatever it is. To get yourself excited. And I think that if a person gets accustomed to being a person who gets out of bed with zest and runs and does what he has to do, so then it's a habit. It's a habit. I can tell you, I used to have, for a number of years, I used to have chavrusa at 4:30 in the morning. But I'd make up another 2 hours of sleep during the day. And so if you go to sleep at 2 and get up at 4, it's not so easy to get out of bed with excitement, right? Wrong. Mind over matter. Because if you're excited to be up at 4 and you're excited to go out and learn, so then you get out of bed and you run to Beis Medrash. You're still tired. No, normal people aren't happy with 4 hours of sleep. That's true, but you know you're going to catch those 2 hours later. You know it's part of the schedule. You'll get another two and a half hours later. So if you decide that's it, now that's my schedule, I'm happy to do it, you could do it. Everyone could do it. And what happens is if you get up at 6 or 7 and you decide I'm still tired, I wish I could have more sleep, very often that decision is what makes us lethargic. And it's not only about the morning, it's about every mitzvah. A person can decide, and we say, "Hachitzoniut mashpia l'pnimiut," that what we do externally affects us internally. There's one more point that has a big impact, but I don't know which one is more important, and that is how tired people are. One of the reasons that most of the Western world spends their time lugubrious is because we don't sleep enough. We go to sleep late, we wake up without enough sleep, and so we spend half our life in this slight daze and slightly annoyed and slightly on the verge of being upset because we're just underslept. If people take the time to sleep the amount that they should, and it's different for different people, so then they have a greater capacity to be happy and excited over positive things. Most of the Western world stays up late watching the late night, or stays up late on the computer doing shtuyot, or stays up late what they call overachieving. But at the end of the day, they're not overachieving because they're underliving life. When a person doesn't get the right amount of sleep, then he has a hard time to be happy. It's just difficult. And this is something that was researched already 30 years ago when they were fighting the war in Vietnam. So after numerous forms of research, they came to the conclusion that the average soldier was not shooting to kill. There's something in the human tendency that every time they'd shoot, they'd shift a little bit off the heart, off the head. They'd constantly shift. There was this human inclination to flinch as you're about to kill someone. And so they decided they're going to research how they overcome this wonderful human tendency. And what they came up with was that if they keep the soldiers, when they're fighting the battle, they keep them without showers and on less sleep, so then they're more irritable and then they're more apt to shoot for the heart. Isn't that something? A person with less sleep is going to be more capable of shooting for the heart. So if that's the way it plays itself out in our subconscious, out in the battlefield, you could only imagine how it plays itself out in our interpersonal relationship. In all our relationships. It's not only in marriage, it's also with our roommate in our chavrusa. At the end of the day, one of the great boons of Western civilization is that we don't know how to go to sleep on time. It's one of the great weaknesses. We stay up too late and then we force ourselves to get up and we have alarm clocks and we end up fighting the alarm clocks.
You mean people's hearts?
What? Well, yeah. In the army, you're supposed to shoot the head, the heart.
No, but you said they missed. They couldn't shoot their flinch before they shot.
Right. But when they got enough sleep and they were well showered, then there was something in the human nature that they wouldn't shoot to kill. But they found that when they could get the people irritated, even slightly, by keeping them underslept and unshaved and unkempt, so that's slight.
You can lower the gun. That's why it's more easy to lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
I spend them already killing all those ends of not sleeping. But the question is just that excitement. Excitement is very good if it's something new. Because if you bring the same excitement every day, or to spoons of sugar, or charuta that's across the ocean, in the end, after 1 week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, that will be the same thing as, that will be usual.
Yeah, but it works the other way usually. If you get used to working with excitement, so that can become a habit too. Meaning, zrizut is a habit. And when you get into the habits, I'm not saying there aren't ups and downs, but the mere fact that a person is in the habit can very often strengthen itself.
So what do you think would be a good advice to renew things every day? Not every day, but almost every day, every week, let's say.
A person thinks about it. I think one of the things that helps is if a person does a cheshbon, the person thinks about it at the end of the week, a person looks back and thinks positively at his accomplishments and what he wants to accomplish next time. It's something that if we continuously work on, so then a person can make a lot of headway. Yeah. What? For many people, that helps, yeah.
I found I do this best on fear. There was a time where I would be going to the same office as my dad, and my dad was very serious about being punctual, and I kind of wanted to go to mañana too, so I just got into a habit of getting up the same exact time, getting to mañana exactly, getting home at the right time, and I wanted to, because there was like a week or two in the beginning where my dad was like, why are you late all the time, why are you late all the time, and eventually it was just like, I started making it. I mean, but I've never figured out
this
resume
one. We should have fair for Hashem. Like,
there's
this famous thing,
if your house is
on fire, you'll fly out of your home, right? If the house is on fire, it's just not smoke, you'll fly out of your bed right away. Whether it's 5, 6, 7 in the morning, so why shouldn't we do it for Hashem?
Whatever works, if that's what works for you.
It's hard for me as well in the morning, to be honest, but I asked it very bad.
I think it's also the frame of mind you go to sleep in, if it's about getting up in the morning.
Yes.
It's not only the time you go to sleep in, it's the thought. Meaning, if you think before you go to sleep, I have to be up at this hour, and I will get up at this hour. Very often, once you've come to that decision, then it's much easier to do it. You see the alarm clock, that's what you were waiting for, you get up and you go. The problem is that very often we go to sleep thinking, I hope I get up with enough strength. If that's what you're going to sleep with, then you're going to have trouble getting up. If you go to sleep with a concrete thought, this is the hour I have to get up at, and I'm going to get up at that hour, then usually that's enough.